It's time for another Melissa in the Morning scam alert.
So this email pops up as I'm doing the show this morning, and it says that scams online have gone up 87% since 2015. It's the latest report coming from the Better Business Bureau. And right away, I heard from Kristen Johnson, who is the Director of Communications over at the Better Business Bureau of Connecticut. And she joins us now. Good morning, Kristen. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. I want to say I'm shocked, but I'm not really. And I want to know from your professional opinion, what has really led to that? That's a huge jump. I mean, that's a lot of online activity that we're seeing in a matter of, what, 7 years? I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Well, we know that during the pandemic, a lot of us went online. We shifted, obviously, to working from home, shopping online, stay safe. And so that's part of it. But even before the pandemic, a lot of scams were being perpetrated online. Scammers like to be where we are, and they especially like to be where we're spending money. So if we're spending more money online, then that's where they're going to be trying to take advantage of us.
Now, I have noticed, Kristen, that I'm getting more than ever, I'm getting a lot of scam text messages. Is that included in this report, or is this specifically like emails and website scams?
No, in fact, text messages are the number one way scammers will get someone offline to go online to perpetrate a scam. Scam text messages rose 11% in 2015 to 30% in 2022. At the same time, we saw the number of scams being perpetrated over the phone by someone calling you go down during that same time period. So you are not alone. We're all getting those scam text messages. And a couple things that people need to know. One is, by law, you have to opt in to a legitimate company's communication via text message. They can't just text you unless you've opted in. A lot of times we'll go on a clothing store's website and they'll say, hey, you know, if you opt into our text messages, you can get 15% off. And then you start getting inundated by those texts. You opted into that. You know, scammers don't play by the rules. And if you start getting text messages from companies that are legitimate that you didn't sign up for, it's probably really a scammer. The number one company that we see impersonated is Amazon. You've probably received a text message from Amazon or Walmart and said, oh, thank you for your purchase. You have a free gift. That was just a scammer trying to get you online to steal your personal information.
I actually usually get, I have gotten that one for sure, Kristen. The other one I always get is that somebody has logged in with my credentials. Like somebody's logged in and they started purchasing a bunch of stuff. And are you sure you wanted to buy all of this? Like almost like they're doing me a favor, like a scam activity alert. And I'm like, that's bizarre because I have not shopped on Amazon, but thank you so much. So I get that one a lot too, which is really fun. And of course I'm being sarcastic, but you know, the other thing too, Kristen, that I wanted to also talk about is I remember we used to have the Better Business Bureau on all the time. And we would talk about how if you get scam calls or spam calls, ones that you don't recognize, numbers you don't recognize, don't answer. Because if you answer, you're letting them know it's an active line. They will continue to call. You'll get inundated, all of that. But what do you do about the text messages? Is there a way to stop the text messages?
It's the same thing. If you reply, if you open that text message, if you click on the link, it's a bot on the other side. It's not even a real person. That bot will then know they hit a real number, and they'll inundate you with text messages.
So just delete what we always,
you need to swipe and delete it. Don't even open it. Just swipe and delete. If there is a link and you don't know where it's coming from or where it will lead to, do not click on it. Just swipe it and delete it. And unfortunately, what we're seeing now is scammers are hacking into people's phones. And so then they're getting a hold of all of their contacts and then using that to send people text messages. So you think it's really your friend sending you a text message, and you're more likely to click on it. They do the same thing with phone numbers. They have technology where they spoof phone numbers, and it makes it look like it's a local number, maybe even a friend's number, you're more likely to answer it. So you can't even really believe your caller ID anymore, unfortunately. But with those text messages, yeah, just swipe and delete.
I mean, we're talking this morning to Kristen Johnson, who's the Director of Communications at the Better Business Bureau here in Connecticut. I mean, Kristen, how much money would you say on average? And of course, it totally varies. But how much money are we seeing Connecticut residents losing to these kinds of scams on average?
Well, Well, we know the average median loss for text messages is $800. That's one person losing $800 by just simply clicking on a link. And it's not just always losing money. Sometimes it's your personal information, like that free gift scam that I was talking about. They might say, oh, you need, you know, to pay like a $15 shipping fee to get your free gift, but you also need to fill out this form. You know, they're asking for your social security number or your banking information or a picture of your driver's license, those are all red flags. You should never respond to an unsolicited email or text message with your personal information. If you don't know the person, keep that information to yourself.
Mm-hmm. And what about the emails? When you get the emails, mm-hmm. same deal with text messages? You know, how do you let them know that that's not an active email, even if it is? Like, is that another one where if you don't recognize it, don't even open it, just delete it?
Right, just delete it. Unfortunately, it's really hard to stop because so much of our information is already out there, mm-hmm. including our email address. Just delete it. You're still going to get those. It's not a 100% solution, but definitely don't open it. Don't click on the links. That is for sure. You don't want to give them access to anything because it might be a nefarious link. It might allow them access into your computer or onto your phone. And then if you keep banking information on your phone or on your computer, then they have access to that. It's very easy for them to hack in. The other thing is because of these data breaches, because there's information about us out there, all they might need is one or two other pieces of information to connect it all together and steal your identity.
Mm-hmm. I remember being in college and my grandmother telling us this story of how she got a phone call from somebody who claimed to be my older brother in Florida saying, you know, Grandma, I need you to wire me a bunch of money. And luckily, my grandmother had an incredible sense of humor without even realizing it. And as this guy who's claiming to be my brother is saying, I'm in jail, I need you to wire me money. You know, I got into this accident, yada, 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 on and on and on. And he's saying, I need you to give me money. And my grandmother, who, by the way, has been living with us for the last 25 years until she passed away, she just in her wit says, Nicholas, why are you asking me for the money? You know, I have no money. I'm living with your parents. Ask your father. So, you know, the guy got sick of my grandmother, Kristen. It's hilarious. It's one of the stories we still tell to this day. But that was like the big scam, I'd say, like even 10 years ago. That was what everyone was nervous about, was the grandparents scam. Now, Kristen, I think we're seeing scammers who, as soon as a tragedy happens, boom, there are scams that come out, and it's like the worst. It just feels icky because it's people who are saying, like, take the Bristol situation, two officers mm-hmm. killed in the line of duty, horrific story, and everyone is just reeling over this, and scammers are like, all right, how do I make a quick buck off of this? Let me create, you know, a website to raise money for these officers or raise money for the department. And it's not real. It's awful. I mean, wouldn't you say that scammers have really shifted into a place where now it's not just 70-plus-year-olds? We're talking anyone could get scammed.
Yeah, like I said off the top, scammers want to be where we are. And unfortunately, when it comes to situations, whether it's a hurricane, a national tragedy, or a natural disaster, you know, they take advantage of that vulnerability of our giving hearts. They've become very creative in finding ways to take our money and to steal from us. And that is one of the most popular ways, although we did have the grandparent scam pop up again this summer in Connecticut. But yeah. For sure. We've seen it. We've been offering tips since the hurricane season started because that's really where we first saw it. I haven't heard of scammers taking advantage in Bristol, but we have put out the alert because you just never know. Unfortunately, it's not till after it happens that we sometimes hear about it, and we've heard about it in past tragedies. So we want people to know to be very leery and to do their research. BBB actually has a foundation that accredits charities, just like it does businesses. We have 20 standards of trust. And so you can go to give.org and you can look up a charity. And it's important to do your research, just like if you were buying something online. If you're going to be giving someone your money, do your research first, because you're not going to get that money back if it ends up in the hands of a scammer.
Yeah, that's very true. And Kristen, what would you say are the most popular scams right now, just so that our listening audience really can be very hyper-focused? I know we're going to see a lot of scams change as the holidays really roll in, like Christmas, we see a lot of scams. But what would you say are the most, the calls that you guys see the most at BBB?
online purchase scams account for about 90% of the scams.
Wow.
Yes. Of course, that will go up around the holidays, but all year long, online purchase scams. But the one that's actually really trendy right now, that's sort of new, is cryptocurrency scams. And I don't know how much you or your audience knows about cryptocurrency, but that's one that's really targeting younger people. And you talked about, oh, it's not just the 70-year-olds anymore, but what really happens is we see actually overall, no matter what the scam is, overall, younger people are being targeted more. They lose less money because they have less money to lose. Older people will lose more money, but they're more cautious. They have been around the block a few times, where younger people, they're new consumers. They don't have maybe quite the same education. They spend differently. They may have just gotten that first job and they see this great investment opportunity. The thing to know about cryptocurrency is it's not backed by any bank. If you lose money, you're never getting it back. It's literally like just putting your money in the pockets of a scammer. And granted, there are legitimate cryptocurrency websites out there, but it's really hard to tell the difference between what's real and what's not, because these scammers will literally copy and paste real websites and create fake ones. So that's a place where you have to do your research. And cryptocurrency scams were 87%. So, I mean, it's right behind online purchase scams when it comes to the types of scams that we're looking at right now.
Oh,
and that's really, really scary, because you can lose a lot of money very, very quickly.
Yeah, no kidding. That's so true. Now, Kristen, I know that BBB.org has so many resources, so many tips, of course, to protect yourself from a scam. Anything else that people should be looking at, or do they just go to BBB.org and sort of type in what they're looking for there?
Well, we have something called BBB Scam Tracker, and it's BBB.org/scam tracker. If you feel like you're in the midst of being scammed, you can actually look up the person who's reached out to you or the company and see if other people have also been scammed by this company or this individual, and that gives you a good idea of who you're dealing with. If you've already been scammed or you feel like you've been scammed, we ask that you report it there and warn others. A lot of times these scammers are halfway around the globe. We may not be able to get you your money back, but by warning other people, you're helping stop them in their tracks. So we encourage people to go to bbb.org/scam tracker, file a report, warn others, and also use it as a resource to look up these individuals. Another thing we say to do is you just Google the name of the company or the individual with the word scam, and that'll tell you pretty quickly whether other people have been scammed by this person.
Well, Kristen Johnson, I really appreciate having you on, and thank you for staying a little bit longer this morning. I'd love to have you on more regularly. Let's talk after the break. I'd love to talk to you and see if I can get you on more often.
We would love to be a part of your show. Anytime you need us, we'll be here.
Awesome. Kristen Johnson with the Better Business Bureau right here on WI. So it's interesting because Connecticut is very hyper-focused on what happened this month in the defamation trial with Alex Jones. And we're not really going to talk about Alex Jones per se, but, you know, as we're talking about this trial and of course the lawyers who represent the Sandy Hook families and the FBI agent, the one thing that they keep saying is that with this historic verdict, what they're hoping is that it sets a precedent for other people to spread false news, essentially, and to spread lies and things like that. And, you know, and I got to thinking, like, okay, yeah, it sets a precedent for people who are paid broadcasters, but what about us? What about you and me who post aimlessly on our social media accounts? Now, I could speak for myself and say that I don't ever post anything controversial. I just don't. I'm not into it. I don't care to. If I want to have a conversation with someone, I will talk to them face to face. I don't put things out there on the internet to start controversy or to get into fights. I'm just not into it. Not me. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not my thing. I post about Disney. So unless you don't like Disney, which is fine, I don't really upset too many people with my social media accounts. However, if you read a recent article in the Medical News Today, new research has shown, this is what's really alarming, only 28% of people read everything in an article before they share it on social media. See, like that to me, we don't talk about that sector of spreading news. Now, again, This is people sharing things that came from, you would hope, credible sources, but sometimes that's not the case. But what can we the consumers, the people who are also sharing this news, what could we do better? So Krista Carnes is here this morning and shared this article with me. It's very fascinating, Krista. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, good morning. It is fascinating, huh?
I mean, what did you think about it when you read it? I mean, 28% of people, you know, will read everything. That's a very low percentage of people who actually read, you know, I mean, the entire article, which we're talking about, what, two pages of work? If that, it's pretty alarming. I know we're very busy, but man, if you want to learn about something, I'm surprised that we're just like willing to read the first couple of sentences, which, by the way, only because I've been a news writer for so long, those are like sexy, you know, trying to grab people, bring them in. Half the time they're, you know, it's kind of exaggerated. But yeah, that's concerning to me. I mean, that's a pretty low number.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, I was going to say, having studied journalism and mass communication in grad school, I was taught sort of, now it's about grabbing people in and getting attention. But I think sort of, in earlier days of news, you did the who, what, when, where, why. Like, you know, you put everything on the top because you needed to assume that people weren't going to read. And this was short form journalism. And so you could get the nuggets of fact that you needed. But so much of what we're reading now is opinion. And
exactly.
They're longer stories and they have, you know, they take you sort of on a journey and they share all this stuff. So I found it interesting that this was in the medical news today, because it's definitely about our psychology. And there's, you know, again, more studies are coming out that, you know, social media is, you know, contributing to depression and things like that. But this article featured a study that was talking about, by sharing, what it does for our sense of self as the sharer, mm-hmm. right? That it makes us feel more knowledgeable on something, that if I share this, I am showing people that something about my character, something about my personality. You sharing only about Disney tells me something about you. And by you sharing it, are you helping to confirm what you want people to think about you? And it's basic. I mean, it's basic psychology. We all want to be knowledgeable about things, and we all want to be sort of considered a source. And I think the people who know the least about things are sometimes the most adamant about knowing everything. Right?
That's a very good point. It's a really good point.
And and I think that's what this is showing. So it doesn't even have to. I mean, we can talk about the misinformation in a minute and the disinformation. And I think Alex Jones and his ilk are profiting and capitalizing on this, human nature to confirm what you believe, share, and hope that other people are going to, you know, agree with you and change. Because some of those shares, when you look further in the study, the reason they're sharing is because they are kind of hoping to sway public opinion. They sway opinion of those who follow them. And most of us are really only followed by, you know, people we know or
right, sure.
Some like one or two step connection from us. We're not public figures, mm-hmm. but you know, so. But I think that it's also about things like it doesn't have to be about controversial issues to make this point. So, you know, maybe you're into like makeup tips, or maybe you're into baseball, or maybe you're into like, you know, maybe you have a medical condition and you're trying to share so people understand you or understand something that you or your family member is going through, or you just want to be. And I don't. It was funny, when I was reading it, I actually had to admit to myself that, you know, I happen to share a lot about certain issues and politics and stuff. That's just me. But I often wonder, like, do I have the authority to share this stuff? Like, people are going to think that I know more than I actually do. And I do read the whole article. That's one of my little personal rules.
Me too.
But,
yeah.
And that's a journalist in me. But I just, you know, I think we also have to worry about like imposter syndrome too, right? If you're so focused on this, you're basically sending a message, I think, to yourself and maybe other people that you're not interested in hearing anything else, right? You're not
right. You're sort of you've made your decision and that's the end of it. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So there's and I think that I'm going back to my little Ted Lasso, which I think I've mentioned before, but he has this whole, you know, stay curious, be curious, not judgmental. And I think, you know, being curious is how we learn more about the world. So it's interesting to me And then, of course, there is the disinformation. And if you're not attuned to what to look for, and we've talked about this a lot, but like, it just shows how sort of need, like sort of impulsively we are being conditioned to share this stuff. And I think because we generally want people to know things or hey, have you considered this or stuff? So it's mostly thoughtful. I'm going to give a whole lot of generosity.
Yeah, you're giving a lot of generosity this morning, Krista. I mean, I'm giving you, I'm kudosing you because, I mean, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm being a little too glass half empty, which is not the way that I typically am, but when I watch what goes on in social media, it's very hard to think that people are being thoughtful. I think people like to pick fights. I think people like to cause controversy. I think they like to get attention, no matter what that would be. I mean, and we could talk more about that. So we're chatting this morning with Krista Karnes after reading an article out of Medical News Today. And yes, I read the whole article, just like Krista. We're nerds, or we just want to get the whole story. I don't know. I mean, we're just doing, you know, not our jobs, but like, I think as people, man, like we have to make excuses why we read the whole thing. Anyways, we were talking about why do people share stuff online? And I think Krista is, I think you're, you know, in some regard, I think you're right. I do think that people want to inform others. Like, listen, I mean, if you look at our platform, that's all we're doing. We are always posting articles or things like that to inform the public. That's literally what we do. But do you really think, Krista, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, this is really just more of like, you know, from your professional opinion, do you really think people are sharing stuff on their social media accounts to inform the public? Or do you think they're doing it to either start a conversation and, you know, not, I don't want to say manipulate, that's a word I don't want to use, but like to start trouble. Influencing. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like campaigning. Like, I hate to say it, but it's like you're kind of campaigning. Like, hey, agree with me. This is where I'm coming from. Here's how to back it up. This is why I'm who I am. Like, it's not that. So you and I were talking about, like, okay, if people were to come on my site, they'd say, oh, my God, this girl likes Disney. Yeah, totally. I'm putting that vibe out there. But I'm not convincing people to like Disney. I'm sharing why I like Disney. But I'm not putting articles up being like, Disney's the greatest thing ever. You should invest all your money. Like, no. You're never going to hear that from me. You know what I'm saying?
But
like, I don't know. It's different.
Well, but you're sharing your passion for something, and whether it's to you're connecting with other people who share that passion. I don't think you're consciously you're not constantly saying I'm going to share this so that people will like Disney more. But if they're inclined to like Disney, they might like Disney, but they might like you more because you like Disney. I think that's kind of the psychology that they're getting at here. And of course, this is one article with a couple of studies, but it's interesting that they're looking at it because
I think so too.
I mean, it's like making small talk at a cocktail party, right? Like you try to find things that you connect on. If I'm at a cocktail party and I, you know, you don't talk politics, you don't talk money, you know, like there's all those like tried and true.
Right. Religion, politics.
But I do. But so to answer your question, like, I don't think everybody has this like altruistic motive of like, let's bring the world more information. You know, I think people are trying to connect with people. I mean, I think that's the human driver. And I do think that kind of goes into the more controversial stuff. Listen, we're in the midst of an election season. You know, there's a lot, like, there's black and white, I feel like. There's, you know, if you haven't figured out where you stand on things right now, you're in the minority, right? So people are just, they're just, for these kinds of topics, they're sharing out to sort of say, are you on my team? Are you not on my team?
But that's, you know, just it. So you're correct. I totally agree with you. But I guess in that regard, then, what is the point? Like you just said, if you don't know where you stand, you're kind of in the minority. No one's really posting things to be like, hey, let's have an open conversation. It's, hey, like, this is where I stand. And this is either why you should stand that way or like, I don't know. It's, I think the point was not supposed to be that. I don't know.
And I think it comes down to like, I've studied and I've been reading a lot about, you know, bias, because that's all, you know, when you study journalism and media and communications and stuff, where are your biases? What are the biases of your audience? What preconceived notions are you working against? There is something called and not to be too academic, but like the Dunning-Kruger effect, which implies that people think that, you know, that they will often think they know more about a topic than they do.
Yeah.
And in order to make themselves feel better, they constantly talk about it, right? But it's so limited. Again, they're not open. You know, they're confirming their own belief about themselves. And so they have this inflated sense of knowledge or understanding about a topic, taxes, inflation, you know, medical issues, and, you know, whatever you want to call it. But if you've only been reading a limited amount of information and you have decided that that is all you're going to read, and that's all you keep, you just keep banging the same note over and over and over again, you end up, you know, reconfirming to yourself what you think you know. And
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I think you're right. People put it out there because they want you to, you know, they want you to go out, you know, to argue with them, or they want to pick, they want to get into this, you know, argument with you because it makes them feel better but they're not really listening. Right. So
yeah.
I think the net of all of this is A, what are we really sharing, and being, you know, thoughtful about, you know, just to think, just take a beat and say, did I read this all the way through? Am I making assumptions just based on a headline or a first paragraph?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because maybe I don't need to share it. Even if I don't come back to reading the article because I don't have time, it does. It's that instant, you know, the shareability.
The click. Yep. You're right.
I think you
make a lot of great points, Krista. And I will say, Krista sent me the link to this article. I will add it to the podcast right underneath Krista's segment when the show wraps up later, because I think it's really interesting. And yes, Krista and I will tell you to read the whole thing. Just read the whole thing. It's going to be okay. Krista,
only if you feel it will best, you know what I mean?
Like, there you go. See? Krista for president, I tell ya. Krista, thank you so much. I think it's a great idea. And like I said, I will post it with your segment later on after the show. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Melissa. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. That's Krista Carnes here on...
It's time to get up and get moving. Workout Wednesday. Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
I don't know about you, but there's a lot of fall treats out there, and it's kind of hard to walk away from them. But... we have some solutions for you. Well, I don't. It's Amy Linus, because I don't know what I would do without Amy Linus. It's Workout Wednesday, and we're going to find some fall treats for you so that you can indulge and enjoy, but you don't have to pack on all the calories. Good morning, Amy. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm doing very well, and I hope you are too.
I am. I was very excited because I was actually at a banquet last night when you texted me this idea. And I was just about to take a couple of little finger foods, and I thought, no, Amy Linus would tell me don't do that. And so then when you texted me this, I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to hear her recipes, because I'm definitely going to the grocery store after work today. And I feel like, all right, I saved the calories from last night, and I'm ready for these low-cal, somewhat healthy fall dessert ideas. I like it, the lighter ideas.
Yeah. So one of my very, very favorites. See, I'm from the South, so I am used to these heavy, wonderful, just decadent desserts. And I love, 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 love apple crisp this time of year. But mm-hmm. we all know it's super fattening and full of a lot of calories. So I try to, you know, to make my little take on it, even with some ice cream, believe it or not. So whenever you're out there apple picking, you know, get those apples, you know, core them, peel them up, and bake them with a little cinnamon and a little bit of brown sugar in the oven. And then when you pull those out, get yourself a sea salt and caramel Yasso yogurt bar and top it with that. And if you want that extra little crunch and crisp, you can actually top it with a little pumpkin flax granola. And voila, you have a very healthy version of apple crisp.
Okay, now wait a minute. I have to get my pen out. Okay.
I know, right?
All right. So you core... No, I'm just kidding. But so what was that ice cream, though, that you said? Because I'm not familiar with that. What is that?
So actually, it's a 100-calorie yogurt ice cream bar. It's basically... It's by Yasso. Yasso. And it's the sea salt and caramel one. It is so good, and it pairs so well with those fall-picked apples.
Okay, so you know what I thought of when you said that was, I mean, yes, obviously having it with a baked apple sounds really, really good. But if you're even somebody who just has like a sweet tooth, like I know my husband's a big ice cream buff, but he, you know, it's like, oh, no ice cream in the house or I'll eat it all. I don't think he'd feel bad about that. Now, is that like it's an ice cream bar? It's not like a tub or anything?
Well, the reason they make them that way is because they're 100 calories. So you want to keep that, you know, those macros in check with each bar. So, but you can pull it right off the stick and put it in a bowl and
eat it. Brilliant. Because it'll kind of melt, too, once you take that out.
Yeah.
I'm doing this today. Let me tell you. Now, wait a minute. I have to make sure I get this right. So you just go, you core an apple. And how long do you put it in the oven? I'm serious. I'm going to make this today. I can't wait.
I mean, usually about no longer than maybe 30 minutes or so. You kind of, I mean, everybody's oven's a little different, but until they're nice and tender.
All right. So you core the apple. You put the little cinnamon, a little bit of brown sugar on there. Fine. You put them in the. Do you put like a little water on the bottom of the tray or whatever? Do you have to do that, or is it okay if it's just like
you don't have to do that? You can if you want them, you know, extra tender. But definitely spray your pan with some Pam or something like that.
Got it. So you take them out, and then all you do is top it with this ice cream bar sea salt and caramel. That sounds amazing.
It's so good, and you have the warm and the hot, you know, and the cool all mixed together, just making you feel so nice and like you're getting a little treat that's healthy for you, actually.
Okay, now what about that granola? What was that? What granola did you make?
So that's pumpkin flax granola. It's actually in the cereal aisle, believe it or not, but it's pumpkin flax granola.
Pumpkin flax granola. Mm-hmm. So good. I want this now. Who wants to cook right now for me? Who wants to do it?
Let's go.
This sounds so good. No, I'm serious. As soon as I pick up Chase from school at noon, this is exactly what we're doing this afternoon. Would you have a name for this, Amy Linus? What do we call this? Like the.
I don't even know. Let's make up a nice name for that because it is really a good treat. It goes over well in my house all the time.
I mean, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know how like people will say like a Georgia peach. Where exactly are you from in the South? Remind me, where are you from?
South Carolina.
Okay, so you're
Southern
Carolina.
Bell, South Carolina.
So I'm thinking like a Carolina caramel apple or something, but it's not a caramel apple.
I like it.
Right?
I'm trying to think of
we got to do something that ties to you and this recipe. This is such. Now, how many calories would you say, like, one apple? Like, if you did the whole thing the way you're saying it with the granola, all that, what are we looking at?
We're looking at probably about 150 to 175 calories.
What?
Mm-hmm. Not bad at all, right?
Oh, my gosh. I am making these. Wow. Who wants to come to my house for, like, a fall festival? This is awesome. I can't wait. I'm going to make this today, Amy, and I'm going to text you a picture of it. Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, wow.
You'll love it. You'll love it. Because you get the crunch in there. You get the textures and the hot and the cold. And so it's a nice little fall treat. It really sounds
absolutely amazing. Amy, if anybody wants to connect with you, maybe if they're not an apple fan, for example, or an ice cream fan, and they're like, maybe something else, or they just want some tips on their health and wellness, how can they find you?
Of course, you guys can email me at amylinas, AmyLlinas, @gmail.com. Or you can find me under Amy Linus on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
It sounds absolutely incredible. Well, Amy, I can't wait. I'm more hungry than I typically am at 7 o'clock in the morning, but I appreciate it. I'm okay with it.
Yes, absolutely, Melissa. I've got you covered, and thank you so much.
Absolutely. Can't wait to talk to you next week. That's Amy Linus here on WICC. And we're going to have to try those Carolina caramel apples. I don't know. I got to work on it. I'm trying to think, like, do we use autumn?
I love it.
Right? I got to work on it. Give me like a day. We'll get it together.
Yes.
We'll get it together. Thanks, Amy. I'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy your day, Melissa.
You too.